What's up, everybody? Eric Huerta here with another episode of Hora de Boa Heights. And I'm joined today by...
Wenceslao.
Wence. Again, thank you so much for making the time to come out here, man.
Thanks, man. I couldn't miss it one more time.
We tried scheduling this interview at my normal time when I'm here at Espacio on Fridays, but today is a Saturday. And, you know, there was some extra time available, so I hit him up and be like, hey, can you come out this Saturday? Sure enough, he sends me a thumbs up on Facebook.
Yep, it works. Finally, he schedules me.
Yeah, and also shout out to your partner, Josie, who's here, who helped you come here, because you're also a bit one arm shorted.
Yes, she is my right arm. So today I have two right arms.
Yeah.
So my left arm is out of commission for a minute.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. But yeah, thank you so much for coming. I was going to say something, but I forgot.
Turn the music back on and you'll remember.
What have you been up to lately? Because I haven't seen you in a minute. And most of the times when I see folks and I catch up with them, it's just like, yeah, man, just grinding and working and, you know, everyday life.
That's exactly what's happening, man. Before the surgery, before all this mess, my schedule's pretty tight. You know, that's why I kind of missed the previous meetup. But
I remember you telling me, like, hey, I'll be there. And then you messaged me. He's like, hey, I'm still at work.
Yeah, you know, and I work for LAUSD. So it takes me, I work in South LA.
Right. All right.
So traffic and all that, it takes me about an hour just to get here. I'm like, you know what, dude? I'm like, I'm at a meeting. I can't even escape from this meeting.
Can't even duck out early.
Nope.
Damn. Were you part of, like, some of the stuff going on with the teacher strike recently?
I mean, I was a scab. No, I'm kidding. Well, actually, I'm represented through a different union, and our union came to an agreement with LAUSD.
Okay.
So we were there by contract. We're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But supporting within the school, right? So whenever the school wanted to do additional work that had to do anything with teaching, it was just a refusal. It was pretty much, we just became bodies in the school because our functions were now just to be present. Other than that, they wanted to give me, I mean, as an artist, they always wanted to give me the artistic, you know, educational tool. Like, hey, man, come on over and give these guys the lesson how to draw this and how to put this together. I'm like, sure. And I stood up there and I'm like, all right, y'all got materials? Cool. Do your thing. Because that's it. Like, I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and start teaching. First of all, that school didn't even have art class. Not a single art class, right? I provide art club after school. So that got canceled as well during the teacher strike. Yeah, you know, I protested before school. I picketed with them.
Out in the rain, too.
Out in the rain, yeah. You know, just kind of historic. It was beautiful.
Nice. Yeah, awesome. Did y'all end up seeing the video of, like, this one woman in, like, Southgate trying to get out of a parking lot? And she's like, build a wall. Like, if we build the wall, none of y'all will be here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Like, they got caught. And then the internet did their thing and found out who it was.
I love that doxing.
Yeah. It was ridiculous because at one point the same day, so it kind of like happened the day before. Then the next day, the woman was on like one of the news stations, Channel 9 or something, Channel 11. And she was just defending herself.
Yeah, of course.
She's like, I'm not like that. You know, I didn't mean to say, like, a bunch of like apologetic shit of like, that's not who I am. That's not what it is. And then they ask her, like, would you be like willing to, like, you know, step down from your position? And she's like, hell no. This is my job. I'm not going anywhere. You're going to have to fire me.
Well, I don't know. Did they fire her?
I don't know. I think at this point, nobody really cares anymore.
That's fucked up. I know, right? We forget so quickly. We got so many things going on. We're just like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it.
It's already. Yeah, because it was in the middle of the strike. So everybody's all right, back to the strike. Let's get these funds, get this contract. Bitches, squeaky chair.
Nice.
Let's get into it. I wrote let's down do some this. Questions. I did want to ask you, just like off the top of my head, with your name, what it's like one of the most funniest like ways you've heard somebody pronounce it?
Well, damn. I've had Winston. I think the best one was Winchels.
The donuts.
The donuts. And that just still haunts me now. This is high school, so we had a substitute teacher that comes in, and, you know, people, they look at the first two letters and they give up, and they just, like, associate anything else. Winchels. Yeah, that was bio.
When you were a student?
Yeah. Oh. And so as soon as that happens, you know, all my friends in class just call me Winchels. So I still run into people online. They're like, what's up, Winchels?
What grade was that?
Was it 10th grade?
Oh, so that stuck with you for a while. Yeah. Where were you at?
At Roosevelt.
Oh, that was nice. Roosevelt,
yeah.
Was that like 90s?
Yeah, that was 97, I believe, 98.
Okay. Did you graduate from Roosevelt?
2000.
2000. 2 years before me. I graduated in 2002.
Nice, okay.
Oh, man. I was only there for a year for the school, but...
Okay.
It was cool. I liked it. It was weird because before that, so most folks don't know, I went to like four different high schools in 4 years. So basically like a new high school every year just because my parents moved around for work. And Roosevelt was the first time where I was like in a predominantly Latino like school. Mm. Like before that, it was in ninth grade, it was Jordan and Watts. And that was like a mixed bag. But back then it was still like predominantly more black African-American folks. Then Washington Prep, which was just like, it was like way intense. I remember this one time the principal was trying to like fight with a cholo, and like the cholo was like, you know, pushing her back and everything, and everybody was just laughing at her. Yeah. Just clowning her. And then I went to Belmont too. Belmont was my favorite school because I spent the most time there, like a year and a half and some change. And again, that was more mixed, but it was also not predominantly just like Mexican. It was like Central American, a little bit of everything. You still had some white folks there. So it was also more of a mixed bag. And then, boom, I get to Roosevelt. It was like fucking almost exclusively all like Latinos from Mexico in like some shape or form or another. So it was like, wow, like speaking Spanish everywhere and like hot Cheetos with nacho cheese y todo. But, oh man,
se te hace agua la boca.
Yeah, you know, I don't get it now when I'm looking through Instagram and I see people eating. I don't get the fascination with like putting hot Cheetos on everything now.
Hot Cheetos on everything, that's yeah. such a chipster thing.
It is. I started seeing it with the eloteros, you know. They started putting like crushed up like hot Cheeto powder on the elote, and now I'm seeing it in restaurants where they make like hot Cheeto sopes or like hot Cheeto nachos or like something gourmet like a taco, and then they'll put Cheetos on it. I've seen that, so yeah. I'm like, man,
it's so stupid.
It doesn't,
just give me the Cheetos on the side.
Yeah, like the most they'll do is like I'll go to Subway or make a sandwich and I'll put some chips in it,
yeah,
just to make it crunchy. But,
you know, that shit takes me back to high school. We used to do that with like whack ass burgers they gave you and a horse meat, you know. You stuff it with chips and it gets a different texture.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm just like, I'm venting now. But so where did you grow up, Wentz?
Grew up in right on the border of East LA and Boyle Heights. Off of Indiana and Union Pacific. Train tracks.
Damn.
You know, factories.
Grimy.
Grimy as shit, yeah. I'm like, yep. Yeah, no, you know, in the early 90s, like... you know, whole area surrounded by gangs. You know, my street was the only one that didn't have a gang.
It's like, what are you going to claim? Train tracks?
Seriously. Yeah, so, I mean, I grew up right there in Boyle Heights, East LA. I went to Eastman Elementary, which is in East LA. That was about a mile walk, you know? That was not bad.
Did you walk or your parents walk with you?
My mom walked with me until I was like maybe third grade. Then I just walked with my brother.
All right. Yeah. Nice. Older or younger brother?
Younger brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, he would probably be, like, what, like a year or two?
First grade. Yeah, okay. He's your age. Nice. 2 years younger.
Yeah. Cool. And then, was that where your family always lived, or that's just where you happened to be where you were born?
No. So, I was born in Mexicali. Okay. I was born in Baja California.
What's up?
Yep. Cachanillas. Yeah, born in Mexicali. Was, like, maybe 4 or 5 years old when we migrated over. Where my whole family, well, not my whole family, five of us. My grandmother was fortunate enough that my grandmother hooked it up during the Reagan administration. They did the amnistia.
Yeah, in the 80s.
In the 80s. And so she had whatever money she had, and she threw it down to her favorite her favorite daughter, my mom. I say that just because, you know, I'm a dick, but no, she really does. She helped us out. She paid for that, you know, residency.
Oh, the application and everything. All that. Dang.
Yeah. So we were fortunate enough to come here based on that. And so from then, you know, went to Eastman. My grandmother from my dad's side brought us in, you know, she took us in for a few years, right across the street from Stevenson Middle School.
Wow.
Yeah. Were those there for
about? Did you end up going to Stevenson?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, went to Stevenson.
Was that a trip? Like, because the school is like right across the street.
Yeah. So when the walkouts happened, remember the 187?
Yeah, 94, 93.
Yeah, I was part of that too. That was awesome. I mean, the whole school was part of it. We're pretty quote unquote woke. I was fortunate. Actually, you know, going back, I go back and forth. I'm like a Tarantino film. But not as interesting.
Flashbacks here and Flashback. There. Was it, were y'all like politically aware or self-aware because it was in like in your family, y'all, something you talked about, or like maybe a specific teacher at school?
No, you know, yeah. So like third grade, I had a teacher, Miss Samudio. She's out there. Shout out. Cause I love her, dude. She would reward us based on our daily behavior. She would write on one letter on the board until she spelled out Chicano power. That was third grade. And so that's when I became conscious about the Chicanismo style, the Chicanismo lifestyle, and me being a Mexican coming in, seeing it from a different perspective. I'm like, who's Chavez? Who's this? You know?
Wait, so If the class is doing good, that means I would have a letter up there.
Yeah.
And if you spell Chicano Power, they like people
we,
get a...
We had a party. We had an ice cream party.
Yeah. That's, you know what? That's such a common technique among teachers.
Yeah.
I grew up with teachers doing the same thing in two ways. Doing it like similarly, where like if the whole class is like doing good and everybody's behaving and whatnot, you know, instead of writing something down, it would put like... a gumball in a jar or a marble in a jar.
But that was like one party in the whole year.
Yeah, because it's a big ass jar. And then the same thing with the name thing, but in reverse, where if you got in trouble, your name would go up there.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get like one check mark, two check marks, three check marks. And they never did anything. Like if your name was up on the board and you had three check marks, that was like a call to your parents. They never called my mom or my dad. And even if they did, there's a language barrier. Like good luck trying to talk to them in Spanish. About how Eric was like trying to get people to fight. all right, that's pretty dope. Yeah. I don't think I had a teacher like that until like high school, where they were like, it was an English teacher and he was Chicano, like super brown and down. And he was, you know, having us like have conversations about what was going on, Cesar Chavez Day, you know, whatever was topical. And, you know, he could have just done his job and taught his English to write essays and nouns and all that other junk. But instead he was having us do a bunch of other stuff, which I thought was super awesome because we weren't doing anything schoolwork wise, but it was like some pretty dope conversation.
No, that teacher was super progressive, man. She had us reading newspapers, because, you know, Rodney King beating was around that same time.
Oh, man.
So we had to decipher what was racial, you know, racial tensions were going on.
This is third, fourth grade.
Yeah, I was 8 years old.
Dang. I was watching like... for like the fifth time, Amistad or something.
Nice.
It was ridiculous. They kept showing that movie.
Did you learn something, though?
Did I ever?
Just became, oh, shit, no pun intended, white noise.
Yeah.
No, yeah, no, I was fortunate to have those teachers, and I want to mean at least her, right? Because then I had a racist-ass white teacher the next year, which allowed me to see it, right? Because coming from her class... I'm already woke. I'm already seeing the racial tensions and the inequalities, and then I go into this fourth grade class, Mr. Merovitz, and that motherfucker. No, se pasaba, man.
Like, what was the subject?
This was elementary.
So just the teacher you had the whole day.
Just a whole day teacher, and he just hated us. He just hated his job. He hated being there.
Was it some? So he was an there old like white long man. Time. Yeah. He was done with it, just waiting for retirement.
Yep. And so we're there, and we didn't give him any easy time. I mean, whenever he would say something, and he would like speak, you know, talk down to us, we'd make it aware that we were aware that he's talking down to us.
Hey, mister.
And that is like discrimination based on your character. I'm not kidding, man. We'd rally up against him. And there was a point where he threw a book at us. Yeah, dude. Because we decided, you know, we're band together and we're not going to fucking deal with this shit. And he's like, you better get the fuck out of my class. And we're like, nope. And he fucking threw a book at us. And we're like, all right. And it was like 15 of us. And we marched directly to the principal's office. We fucking unionized against his ass.
Wow.
That was fucking awesome. I'm telling you, man, that teacher woke us up.
And how did you keep have any other moments like that throughout the rest of your like formal education, like in continued junior high and high school?
No, you know, high school had teachers that were just apathetic. They just didn't give a shit, you know.
Yeah.
They were just like, I mean, econ class, we played a board game every time we showed up to class. It was called Payday.
Paid? That's a real game?
Yeah.
All
right. Not just a bar, right?
A candy bar.
Yeah, Payday is a whack-ass board game. It's a calendar, and you just deal how many days you know. But
not even Monopoly.
It was terrible, man. And it was like the 70s version, so they never got an updated.
Outdated version. You know, for me in government class, our teacher used to have us watch CNN. And then he would tape the previous night's CNN episode or whatever the hell they were talking about and ask us to like watch it because it was really important. And to write like a two paragraph summary of what we watched, what we thought of it. And that was like almost like on a regular basis.
Damn. Yeah. That's fucking cool.
No, it wasn't.
No?
I mean,
I love that shit.
At that time, I was like, yeah, this is easy. Woo, yeah, easy A. But now I'm like, dang, man. This is like, I didn't get anything out of this like education.
Yeah.
So.
I guess, you know, it went down to what you wanted to get out of it, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to get anything out of it, especially back then.
No, I was all about trying to get that past all my math. I was a little nerd, and but I was also a tagger, so I was kind of
Were your parents, I mean, were your parents like that? Were like, échale ganas en la escuela, mijo?
Oh, for sure, man.
Or else?
No, you know, they never hit me, but they made it a point. I mean, I saw my pops deal with work a lot, and coming home just, you know, full of cement. He was a construction worker. And so he'd come home full of cement, tired as fuck, and would wake up at 3 a.m. And it was like sacrifice. So I saw that sacrifice. And that alone just encouraged me to just like hit it hard. You know, just hit it hard, get it out of the way. And so I'd do like the Escalante program. I did Upward Bound, Occidental.
Oh, right.
So I really try to get involved with school.
Yeah.
But graffiti won.
How did you get into graffiti then? Because it was, I mean, it's always around us, but I don't think we ever take notice of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was always around me. And like I said, I grew up in, you know, in that neighborhood near the train tracks, and having all these gangs beef up, I'd see like, you know, just the layers of like one tagging before,
crossing
each other.
Yeah.
So like I look at the different color of paint, different tips and all that. And I'll decipher it. So I'd be like, hey, this dude came in first. This dude, and oh, shit, this dude came in. Because, you know, those times where, like, they wouldn't even buff out the paint. They just let it pile up. And so, I see that. And I dug it. And then eventually started seeing the styles, you know. And I'm like, okay, that's gang letters. And then this is tagging letters. And friends of mine were really good, man. And I was like, I was really impressed by their style. And the friend hooked me up with the magazine. Scribble. Remember that? Scribble magazine. So I saw like the homie Hex. That's where I first saw his work.
Oh shit!
And later on I meet him, right? But yeah, I mean, graffiti just took it, man. And it was a self-taught art. You know, it was a rebellious thing. It was low key. Had sketchbooks taken away from me by teachers, by the dean.
Yeah, yeah.
Got a pretty big trouble with Roosevelt. Almost got kicked out.
Because you were writing, or you got caught with the black book?
With a whole bunch of stuff.
So what are you doing with this razor knife? What are these spray cans for?
Yeah, so some went down that they had to search everyone's backpack. And
I've been in those situations.
And so they were taking everybody from the restroom out, and I was there with pretty much like a good chunk of my crew in there, and we had just fucked up that restroom, right? We just like tore it all up, and we're on our way out, and the local security person sees me coming out, and she's like, "All right, give me your bag. I see where you guys come coming from," and I'm like, "Oh no, it's just me, you know." And like the other homies just like kind of like crept up and took off running. So I took the hit. Got brought into the dean's office. They opened my backpack and they gutted it all out. I had everything, right? I had spray cans, markers, stickers.
Oh, yeah, busted.
I had everything except for school materials.
Were you that guy? Hey, fool, let me borrow a piece of paper.
Sometimes I was.
Let me borrow a pencil.
Look, I'm taking notes.
What?
I'm taking calculus notes now.
Yeah, my one page.
Yeah, no, you know, I had enough supplies, you know, depending on whose definition it was on school supplies, but I had plenty. But that, you know, that was one of those awesome days. I didn't get kicked out, by the way, because I was in the football team.
Soccer?
No, American football. Yeah. Yeah, they called my coach. And they're like, hey, is he in part of your team? Coach is like, yep. The dean looks at me, he's like, well, you're lucky. I'm going to let you stay.
Dang.
And I'm like, why? Because I'm in the football team? Fuck that.
Was the team doing good or anything?
Yeah, we were okay. I mean, it was JV. No one cared for JV. Everyone cared for varsity, right?
Yeah.
So, but after that, I just split out. I'm like, F the team and F all this.
Oh, so you didn't do senior year in the football
team? No, no. I that toxic masculinity, I didn't know how to define it back then, but I hated it. And I left.
Because, like, what was going around in, like, the locker room with the players?
Oh, yeah, all that shit. Like, yeah. So I hated that then. I didn't know how to define it back then. And now I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. It's toxic masculinity.
But you like the sport. You like playing.
I love the sport.
What was your position?
I was a lineman.
All right.
Always build like a lineman.
So for folks who might not be too familiar with football, what does a lineman do?
Lineman blocks anyone from coming in and hitting the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be big for that position.
Yeah, you got to be big, you got a quick snap, and you got to hold them back, you know? So, yeah, that was my position, and I was left guard, and I was right tackle. So when I was defense, I was on the right side trying to tackle the other dude down. So, again, you know, you just had to be big.
Yeah, and you didn't get to play in the Classic, huh?
Nah. I got in trouble a little bit before the Classic, and they set me down.
It's like, you're out of the game.
Well, yeah, that incident with the tag materials and all that. That was like maybe a month before the Classic.
Ah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Have you gone back to see it? Like any of the games? Like the Classic games?
Yeah, yeah. We went there a couple of years ago. A few years back.
As in the stands?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to see it from like the sidelines.
Yeah, sidelines is cool, man.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, because then you see all the beef going on from the schools. And yeah, I love it.
Nice. Dang. So you graduated Roosevelt 2002. Yeah. I mean, I graduated Roosevelt 2002. 2000. 2K. Yeah. Y2K.
I was praying that all my records would get lost like Y2K.
That was always such an ambiguous threat. It's going to go on your permanent record. It's like, what permanent record? I don't even have a copy of it. You're kind of already in the mix with like arts, with like tagging. Where was it for you where you kind of made that?
The transition.
Yeah, that transition, that jump from like what you were doing is like, you know, considered by some not good to where it's more of what you're doing now.
Well, several deals, right? So I was still tagging when I decided to go to CSUN.
Oh, Northridge. Northridge. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when why all the way out there?
Because the first one that accepted me and I didn't want to pay for more applications.
I'm in.
That's it. That's exactly.
Where else did
I'll deal with. I'll deal with it. Cal State LA, they denied me. Like suckers.
What?
All yeah, right. They would have had a mural in there in their institutions by now.
But. Wait, so you went from straight from high school to like university?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You didn't go to ELAC?
No, I only did ELAC for Jaime Escalante program, which was like only like middle school.
Yeah, yeah.
I did ELAC for photography classes like during the summer.
Photo department there.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I loved back when they had the bungalows. It was chill. I mean, it was tiny, but now it's just a huge department.
Yeah.
I left. My last semester I went there was when I had just finished that underground. I got to use that green room and
the new one?
The digital lab. Yeah.
Yeah. I was already in school by the time all of that was already said and done, so I was like really taking advantage of it.
Nice. I came in towards like right when they had just finished building it. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna use it next time, come back. And
saying that I should go back to ELAC and take another photo class.
That's for real, dude. Beautiful.
Yeah. So you went to CSUN.
Yeah, I went to CSUN, and so that's where I had Miss Susan Boyle from Roosevelt. She introduced me to Paul Botello.
The Paul Botello. Dang, like
right?
That.
Yeah, because I told her, I mean, she always knew I was into tagging, right? I would ditch class and I would go to her class because she allowed all the kids to ditch to kick it there.
Oh.
And so she opened her doors.
Kind of like, is it like, you're here, you won't get in trouble somewhere
exactly.
else.
Exactly. Yeah, and then she'll keep us creative, right? Because she knew I was a tagger. A whole bunch of us were. She'd have us do projects and help her out with stuff. And so I had my first art class was with her. You know, I did a video. I edited my own little video. Illustrated
it.
I showed it at Mocha.
Dang.
Yeah, she's the one that really pushed me to do the arts. Like if anyone takes any of this credit, she's the one that really launched
me. She saw that potential and like started like guiding it in the right direction.
Yeah, man, for like, this little thug-ass kid to go to fucking to display art in Mocha, you know, and it was not art. It was just illustrated video. And it was like, it had poetry in it, has like, you know, the illustration. And
do you still have a copy of that?
Yeah, I do. It's VHS somewhere.
You got to translate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, seriously.
Like put it up on YouTube.
And it was the first time I had to like, I stood up in front of an auditorium filled with white faces. And that was my very first exposure to like stage fright.
Dang.
Like, I was like, oh shit, like why do these people even care?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, man, like it was crazy. Like everybody had questions about the illustrations. Every video was, you know, shot, edited. Mine was illustrated, shot, and edited. So they were interested in why I wanted to illustrate it.
Why did you do something different?
Yeah, and I'm like, well, because that was my comfort zone. That's what I like. Eventually, that pushed me to do the arts. You know, Paul Botello, he saw my black book and he said, nope.
As in, like, you suck? Or, like,
I don't need you right now. He started his mural at Salazar Park. He had just buffed out the wall.
The one, the Tigres del Norte one?
Tigres del Norte. Yeah, one of my favorite ones, right? So at this point, I had to remove maybe about 5 blocks away from there. And so I'm passing by. I'm like, hey, who's going to be painting here? And later on, Ms. Boyle says, hey, that's Paboteo. Go meet him. So I go meet him, and I was excited. I was like, dude, I've seen your work. And I'm like, you know, I've seen your work everywhere. I'm a super fan of yours. And he's big old smile. He's like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, but look, check out my work. I was all proud of my black book, right? I'm like, check out my work. I'd like to help you out. And he looks at my book, and he's all like, but this is tagging. He's like, you don't know how to do anything with brushes. And I'm like, well, I've never, but I do with spray can, and then how to paint. I'm like, it's the same thing. He's like, nah, man. I was like, I was crushed, man. I'm like, fuck, now I got to go to school.
Dang, that's real, though.
Yeah, no, he was honest, and I love that, you know? Circle around. I went to school and torched.
From that conversation, was after, that like...
During that conversation, I was already at CSUN, right? Okay. So at CSUN, I was majoring in civil engineer, right? Because I was all about math, right? So civil engineer major, then I hated it. I was the only Chicano 18-year-old in that class. I had no support.
Were you out there trying to build a dam or something?
Trying to build bridges, you know? Yeah, man. I was the only like 18-year-old Chicano in the engineering class, you know? And so I didn't feel any support when I needed it. Like, big time I needed it, right? Apparently, fake it till you make it goes to also to a certain level, right? I got there, and I'm like, you know what? I really need this help. And all the Asian dudes hanging out with each other, all the Armenian dudes hanging out with each other.
They got their own little network.
They got their own little network, and they also, you know, the cigarette-smoking network. And I'm like, you know what? I'll pick up smoking. Maybe I'll hang out with these fools.
They don't care as long as you smoke.
Yeah. I mean, if we all smell to you like, they won't mind me.
That's such a bad habit to pick up.
And yeah, I picked it up. It was a bad habit for a minute. It helped me out.
Really?
It got me into the inner circle with the worst of the Asian crowd. And so we didn't do that well.
Because y'all were... Wait.
Anyway, yeah, go for it.
Are we talking tobacco smoking or...
Oh, tobacco smoking, okay. Yeah. Weed smoking since 8th grade. All right. That just forms part of my life.
What are you talking about? I've been doing that way longer.
That played no effect in my life. That just helped me out.
It's chill vibes.
It helped me cope.
Yeah.
PTSD.
It still does a lot of folks cope.
It's that PTSD from the hood, you know?
Damn. All right. So you kind of fell in with the bad crowd.
A little bit, you know, and eventually I just got tired of it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take my first art class. Like, why not?
That's what college for is.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're in a position where you're not, you know, in debt or like taking on like too much, and you have the flexibility to like try something out.
I'm in debt, but not as bad, you know. At a point, I'm like, you know what? I'll be in debt for my whole life. I'll just take advantage of my education.
Fuck it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I went to school. Then I took formal art class, and that's when I'm like, shit, dude, I really like art. Like
a 101 class?
Yeah, yeah. So that was the first time I want to make, you know what? I'm doing really well. I don't mind spending super amount of hours doing this project. I want to excel. I'm like, spoke to the professor, and he's like, well, you know, you should probably do it. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I guess I will. And I changed my major to art. Full circle comes around, homeboy working with Paboteo. And I'm commuting with him from East LA. And we're talking...
To Northridge.
And we're blazing, talking on our way to school. And he tells me, you know what, dude, I'm going to jet out early because I got to work today. And I'm like, hey, dude, I'm looking for a gig too. Where are you working? Oh, I'm working with Paul. I'm like, shut the fuck up, dude. You haven't mentioned this. Like, why had you ever mentioned this to me? And he said, oh, I just started working with him recently. I'm like, well, dude, like, hook me up, man. I really want to, like, I met him before, but, you know, he rejected me, but that was like 4 years ago. And, yeah, man, like, on my dad's birthday, we're celebrating his birthday by Chavez Ravine.
All right.
We got jumpers and piñatas, you know?
Everything.
Everything.
Somebody out there at 8 a.m. holding on the spot.
Exactly. No, I think it was like 6 in the morning. I was right there. I had to reserve all the tables and shit.
It's frío and shit.
Yeah. And I get a call from Adele. That's his name, right? The homie. And he's like, hey, dude, we're going to be cleaning up graffiti off the mural that's on Soto and Chavez.
Oh, okay.
The Pay the Shoe store. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's fucking cool. How long? He's like, oh, we're going to only be here for 2 hours. I'm like, all right, give my dad a kiss. Happy birthday. I got to go.
You know what trips me out about that now? Is that mural, El Corrido de Boja, it's a super, like, well-known. Everybody can picture it. And it's, like, it helps you really realize and visualize that corner. And it's been in movies and photographs. It's just been all over the place. And I can honestly say I single-handedly helped ruin that mural.
Nice.
Not that I went over there with like a fucking fire extinguisher and like tagged over it or anything. Yeah. Is the company that's in charge of installing the fucking
the bus stops
with shades, the shelters, the bus shelters. I follow them on Twitter. So, and if anybody wants a bus shelter, just holler at them on Twitter and tell them, hey, bus company or ad company, can you put a shelter on the corner of such and such and such street?
Oh, okay.
And I did that. I tweeted at them, like, hey, like, it would be awesome if y'all put a shelter here. Because, you know, there's hella people waiting for the bus there. And it's funny because before the shelter, there was a tree. And, like, when in the middle of summer, people would follow the shade of the tree, yeah, like, around it, like a clock. So eventually, you know, a couple of months later, they put the bus shelter there. And I was like, dope, nice. Like, folks waiting for the bus, not have somewhere to, like, to sit and wait away from the sun. And then I was passing by once, and I was like, oh, that totally ruins the mural. Because now, like, the shelter's right in front of it. You don't really see it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're welcome, everybody.
Thank you. At least we got shelter now.
But even that mural has been like, oh, man, it's so bad. It's just been like,
yeah,
just fighting with it over the years. And now they sold a Payless building, so people don't know what they're going to do with it.
No, they're going to save it. They're going to keep it. That's another issue, right?
All right, but you were there.
So, yeah, I'll talk to you a little bit about that later on. Because, it was going to be pretty much holed up. We're going to create this giant windows, display windows.
And yeah.
I helped save that.
Nice.
Anyway, go ahead, man.
No, I mean, you went over there. Like, you said, like, you know, happy birthday, Pops. Let me go over here put it to work.
So I go and I'm wearing my Sunday's best, right? I get to the mural site and Paul's like, hey, good to see you again. Here's the metal scrubbing brush and here's some chemicals. Cover yourself up and do it. And I'm like, all right. And I'm there, man, just fucking scrubbing away, ruining my first shirt. And after that, he's like, well, you know, we're restoring another mural on Daly and Broadway. This is in Lincoln Heights at the bank, right? He's like, we're restoring this other mural. If you want to come on down, we'll be here this next weekend. And so from that point on, I didn't stop. You know, I just kept going. Eventually, like, you know what? We're just going to hire you. Like, now we got projects coming. Now we got to paint projects now. These are original art. So come on over. And dang. So from that point on, it was just, yeah.
Wow. So from, you know, from like Botello telling you, like, get out of here, you're just like chicken scratch right.
Yep.
So it's like, all right, you got some skills, you can come on over. How did you end up working with the rest of the streetscapers?
We fixed their mural. So this was the first mural, right? The Corrido Boja Heights. Mm-hmm. That's a streetscaper mural. I had not met them yet. I met them at the Broadway and Daly mural.
Oh, when it was like the full-on restoration project.
Yeah, and this was the funny part, right? I had not met them, so we were subcontracted through Pablo Tello. He was our lead, right? And we finished a project, and in comes Wayne Healy to assess the final product. And he stares at it. He's like, what the fuck? Oh, my heart just skipped a beat. I was like, oh, I just ruined his fucking art. And he starts pointing to other spots. I'm like, oh, good, I didn't touch those spots. He's like, what happened to that color? Why is that color there? And I was like, oh, man, at least that wasn't my mess up. So that was my introduction to Wayne. Because after all that, I'm like, oh, hi, Wayne. I'm one of the guys that fixed your mural.
Damn. For some of the folks that aren't familiar, who, like, can you give a little bit, like, who are the streetscapers?
The streetscapers are Wayne Healy, mm-hmm, and Paul, David Botello, which is Paul Botello's oldest brother. And the Botellos are all talented people, man. As a matter of fact, David Botello's son has an exhibit right now right next door, Street Tacos.
Oh, inside the taqueria?
Yeah, taqueria.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, some beautiful work there.
All right.
Very similar to his art, to his dad's palette, mm-hmm, you know, his style. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, all the Botellos are super talented, and those were the streetscapers. And those are original, right? Since then, a whole bunch of people have joined the Streetscapers, right? One of the more famous ones that, and I really love his work is George Yepes.
Yeah, very distinct style.
Very distinct style. And I think their style together created some of the best work out there.
Yeah.
You know, shit happened, but he's not part of it anymore.
As I've come to learn in the social justice spaces, and as you get older, friendships don't stay the same forever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we change. Everybody changes. And so, yeah, from that point on, there's been a whole bunch of artists that have been part of the Streetscapers, sculptors, painters, de todo, you know? And I've been fortunate to be part of it. And I was inducted via a hug, a Chicano handshake, and a shot of tequila. That was the shit.
For real?
Yeah.
Dang.
It was like that, man. We're in the middle of a project, a big funding project, and we're celebrating, you know, in a sense. We had music on, and we're eating salami, you know, salami slices. And we're just chilling, and then, you know, David comes up to me, and he brings me along. He puts his arm around my shoulder. He's like, Wayne, what do you say, man? He's like, Wenceslao's been with us for about 10 years already. He's been kicking ass. His style's different than ours, but still does his thing. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, how about we legitimize it? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, you're an honorary streetscaper from this point on. And I was like, oh, shit. This Dang. Is fucking awesome, man.
It's something out of a movie right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a dream come true, man. It was like, it was one of those things that I prayed upon it, upon a star.
One day they'll accept me.
Yeah. No, I was just like, I would pay to work with the Streetscapers. Because I grew up with their work right here mm-hmm. in Boyle Heights, mm-hmm. East LA. And I loved their work. And I was like, if I could learn how they do what they do, I would pay for that knowledge. That's why I was willing to stop going to school, because I wanted to do that.
Just hang out with them and learn as much as you can.
Yeah, yeah. But fortunately, I finished school. I'm in debt now, but I was fortunate enough to work. My first commission was at CSUN.
I was going to ask, one of your projects was at the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was it?
It was at the Chicano house. Rodell, him and I were working at the Streetscapers at that time. Mm-hmm. And, during our smoke sessions, I was like, Rodell, we should probably paint a mural. You know, we should hit him up. We don't know how to do it. So we hit up Irina Cervantes. Another amazing artist.
I think she's still teaching there. Teaching, yeah, right?
She's
yeah.
She's amazing, man. And she's the one that's like, yeah, put it together. This is how you do it. And she showed us how to put a proposal.
Grades and the formula of like getting the school to pay for it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, to get funding. Because
you know how to paint a mural.
Yeah, we already know how to draw and paint a mural. We just didn't know how to get the funding.
The more business academic side of things.
Yeah.
Which most, unfortunately, like artists aren't too savvy with.
Nope.
Because you're too busy learning how to paint.
Yeah, we don't. It's hard enough for us to even learn how to like price our own work, you know?
I take advantage of that sometimes.
Yeah, you know.
If I see you underselling, I was like, sold.
Terrible.
It's like, you think you're getting money, I think I'm getting a deal.
Everybody wins. Hey, man. As long as you support, I think it's fine. As long as you don't steal the work, we're good. Yeah, man. So anyway, it's big circle. Been fortunate enough to work with the Streetscapers. And until this point, I mean, I still, you know, still keep in contact with them, still go visit them. I'm doing my own thing now.
Of course, you know? Of course.
But always touch base, and whenever our schedules work, we synchronize to work together. You know, I've been working on keeping their records together, archiving their shit. Like, they have a lot of stuff, and I worked as a student archivist at CSUN, so I brought some of that knowledge over, and I started filing his work, and it's a lot of work, and amazing, man. I mean, I'm talking about like he's in a crazy collection of work. And so many amazing friends that he's had, that they've had throughout these years, they collect all their work. And so I'm telling you, man, there's like the Cheech Marin collection is big.
That's nothing.
The Streetscapers is yeah, it's amazing.
It's ridiculous, man. That is so fucking cool. Because like you, I grew up, you know, seeing their art in the walls all over the neighborhood. And it wasn't until later in my adult life, you know. And it was, for me, it was a very specific moment. It was when Cheech Marin had his collection going on tour, like in the early 2000s. And I was just skating around with my homie. Like, we were at Placita Alvera and we saw what was going on. And it was at the Pico House where they had it, and we saw it. And I was just like, what the hell? Because to me, the one thing that stuck in my mind, like just got burnt in there, was, I forget who did it. You might remember their name, but it's the painting. I think it might be Patsy Valdez or one of the women artists. That it's a portrait of a little girl in the yellow dress with like the frilly, yes. You know, yeah,
Patsy,
yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, "Yo, that's my sister's." Like that's literally how they used to look. Like you know, when we try to go to church, and then just end up at McDonald's instead. Nice. but I saw that and I was like, "Whoa!" Like that's me. Like that's part of my life. That's part of my experience up on an art gallery. And then after that, it was just downhill. Because then I saw everybody else's work. And if you're not familiar with Cheech Marin's collection, it's basically a who's who of, like, Chicano art from, what, like, somewhere in the 60s, yeah. Like, pretty much moving forward.
Yeah, till recent.
Yeah, so I saw that collection, was completely blown away, and that was my road down to, like, learning more about each of the different artists, his collection. Because I was still at ELAC at the time, East LA College. I ended up taking some classes there in Chicano Studies and Muralism and like nice. A bunch of other stuff and just like going even deeper, learning about Los Tres, Orozco, Rivera, and Siqueiros. Yeah. And even learning about the Siqueiros mural down in Placita Olvera. Yeah. So I just went down a rabbit hole of like muralism and artists, which I still, you know, to this day follow and always geek out on. That's why it's part of the reason I always wanted to have you on the show.
Hey, man.
Because awesome. You're part of that legacy, hanging out with the streetscapers and doing your own thing.
Yeah, man. I'm super fortunate to do that and still be doing it, man. I'm just getting started.
Damn, that says a lot given like how much you've been doing already.
I've been busy, man. I've been busy. Finished the most recent mural. I work with Garesen. We had a little speed bump. Hopefully gets resolved soon. It's a beautiful mural that pays homage to Central American activists and transgender. Just very important figures that have fought for human rights, mm-hmm. for you know, just to exist. And the mural's up there, but we just gotta get through the red tape to get it up.
Bureaucracy of things, yeah.
Yeah. Got a mural that at MLK Hospital at the Mental Health Urgent Center.
Oh, I've seen that one when you posted up pictures.
Yeah, that one was a learning, you know. I learned a lot in that project. It was a huge, huge undertaking. I had, you know, a bit more than I could chew, but I managed to swallow eventually.
Damn. But all right, so one of the murals I saw you working on was way back when I was still at ELAC, and I think I was on my way to school on my bike or on the bus, one of those two. Down Chavez, yeah. And you were at Stevenson Middle School painting a mural. And I was just at the time.
No, Belvedere.
Oh, it was Belvedere.
Belvedere Middle School.
Stevenson,
yeah.
Is where you went. Yeah, you were working at Stevenson. Belvedere. Down Chavez and Hazard, in that little corner where like the two streets split up, and I remember just like seeing you working on it. And this is me when I was like in the middle of like I'm gonna be a journalism phase. So anytime I saw something like that, I would always like get out of my way, like I'm gonna go talk and report about this. And I kind of did because I talked to you about it, and then you know I started getting to know you. And I remember there was this one kid there with you.
Yes,
Nacho.
Nacho. Yeah, you remember his name? Yep. I keep forgetting Nacho, right?
Chubby little kid, yeah. Just hanging out, just watching, learning. And you were like, yeah, come on, man, get down on this.
Yeah.
But can you talk a little bit about that project? Because it's also very much in line with some of the work you've done in terms of how you do community murals.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So that mural, that space alone has always been tagged up, right? The Maravillas are there, so they're always tagging it up. And local taggers tagging it up. Usual. It's a big brown space.
Prime space, yeah. Yeah.
And so local community member, an elder, she posted it up at that Anthony Quinn Library asking for a muralist. She put a banner, a little flyer. She's like, I'm looking for a muralist. Anyone was down? And I'm like, oh, shit.
You have to understand, this is before Facebook.
Yes, for sure.
Old school pose.
And you're talking about a señora. She's like in her like late 60s. You know,
older.
So older. She's a community activist, but she's not very savvy with technology. It was like, what, like MySpace days, I think?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so she reached out and I called her and I'm like, hey, I'm interested to help out. I don't know how I was going to do it. And she eventually said, oh, yeah, this is how I want to do it. I want to get people involved to paint this and paint that. And I'm like, oh, how am I going to get people involved? Like, I don't know how to teach people. I don't know how to predict.
You never done it before?
Nah. Like, well, I mean, I had done it with Season Mural, but that was my art class, right? So I had a set schedule with, like, I painted it at Highland Park, right? Season Mural, it was painted on wood. Took it to Highland Park. We drew it. We painted it there with students. And then we installed it at
Season. These are also art students, too.
Yeah. So they know how to draw. They know, you know, they were savvy. So now I come, this is my second project at Belvedere. It's a huge 185-foot wall. And the lady is like, but I want you to help, you know, we want to help paint. I'm like, well, how am I going to, like, manage this? And I remember homeboy Raul Gonzalez.
Yeah, McLean Murals, shout out.
Shout out, man. He brought me into one of his projects. I was working at the Rowan Elementary School. And I saw how he managed to get a whole bunch of people painting at the same time. And I'm like, okay, this is efficient. I see how it's done, like, let them do their thing and then come back and fix it. So that makes sense. So when the lady reached out, I was like, I think I'll try that formula, see how it works. And it worked. I was like, damn, this is cool. Like, give people the brushes, give people the paint, and just let them do their thing based on
this color here, this color there.
Paint by numbers is a giant coloring book. And after that, I mean, you get lucky for those people that know how to, like, blend colors, you know, and those people that know how to refine, like, those painters, right? Mm-hmm. So you get lucky when you find those artists. But for the most part, you know, I had, like, a four-year-old. You know, messing up my brushes, and I'm like, well, you know, it's the experience they're gonna take home.
And it's something personal too, because, you know, that's your neighborhood, that's your community. Yes. You can point to that and say, I helped.
Exactly. And I make it a point to put their name on the wall. I you know, I gotta give credit where credit is due, and if it's a community project, everyone that took part in it needs to get credit for it, especially if you're thinking of empowering them, right? So in this case, it's like, okay, y'all are going to be part of it, but you need to sign in, because I'm not going to be responsible if you're anything.
Can't remember everybody's name.
Yeah, I got 80-something people be part of this project.
Everybody's name, like, Jose Gonzalez or something. How many Jose's are there?
Seriously. So, yeah, I mean, that's the part of the, you know, like, get the community involved, the design process, the initial painting process, and then afterwards I come back and I retouch whatever needs to be touched. And then I seal it with anti-graffiti coat. You know, this one got nice seal before it got buffed.
Man, it sucks. We were talking about that before we started recording, that if you were to pass by the mural there today, it's like this ugly pinkish, grayish color now.
Yeah, it's the beige that they use for the school
campus.
That's what they paint all their walls.
So underneath that, it's like this beautiful mural. And, like, give folks what was underneath it, because I wouldn't be able to do it justice.
So the title of the piece is, I believe, was called Universal Music of the Spheres. That's what it was. You know, Music of the Spheres. And it's pretty much a universe with a whole bunch of people in traditional instruments wearing the traditional wardrobe from around the world. So you had the drummers, you had the percussions, you had the strings, and you have the horns. But they're all they're representing from different parts of the world. And they are all playing music in a circle around a beating heart. And so you have two children that are embracing this heart, and then everyone play music around it. And then it's like the big image was like a mariachi playing some random notes that my brother gave me. Forgot what it was, but it was notes. My brother's a saxophone player, so he gave me these notes, and I'm like, hey, can you give me something that was pretty much like him and I understand? Because it was based on his jazz. All right.
It wasn't like cucaracha or something.
No. He was a jazz player. So he gave me some notes and I just threw them in there.
Nice.
Yeah. And so that's it. That's the mural. And at the end, I just put everyone's name on the mural. So all you see now is people's name.
Everyone's name. That's like towards the end where the gate is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only part that survived. Everything's still there, though. I mean, we can still come and refix it and bring it back together.
So much work.
A lot of work. A lot of money. Yeah, and time that I don't have, you know?
See, and that's the issue, too. We, at one point, L.A. was known as the mural capital of the world. One of my favorite art pieces is the Goa's gallery map from, like, back in the 70s. Yeah. Yep. I have that as my screensaver on my on my computer. And for folks, if you want to check it out, you can go through the public library. They have an archive of it, a digital archive. And if you want to see it in person, at the most random place ever, is Guisado's on Chavez and Soto. I mean, Chavez and St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah. They have one there. I was like, what the hell? Not that I would eat Aguitado. Well, not anymore. I was over it. But they have a copy of the map there. I was like, damn.
I have a couple.
What do you mean you have a couple?
Yeah. David Botello drew it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So he's got some prints still. He drew the actual map. And he's got the archives. I'm telling you, they got all this amazing stuff. And yeah, so Goez Gallery, he was part of that circle.
Like, back in the day. They still have some of their paintings in the Ben Franklin Library.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's art history all around us.
First Street School.
Yeah.
First Street.
Elementary?
The one that they opened up on East L.A.,
anyway. Somewhere. Anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
But that's something I did want to ask you too. As a muralist, the city always hasn't been cooperative of like what y'all have been doing and like either supporting you or like trying to help you maintain the arts. Like, how do you see things now? Because like a couple of years ago, there was like the whole mural ordinance and the ban, and now that kind of got like settled down a little bit. But I don't think anything new has happened since then.
Your ordinance was a uphill battle with a whole bunch of artists involved. Very few murals came after that.
Yeah,
which is like the funniest part of it all. I don't know. I've been lucky to have projects come to me, and I find them. I'm like, yeah, I'm down to work on this. City officials. I mean, my most recent and that was bad experience, and I kind of just became disillusioned with the idea of reaching out to them. Was Mayor Villaraigosa.
Right? Oh, right.
Painted a mural at Roosevelt. We were reaching out for some funds. And now he provided was $500. And I had to split the $500 with the gardening that was going to happen. And it was crazy because I had asked, like, I put a budget together. I'm like, you know, I'm going to be reasonable. I'm not being greedy here. And I sat in a big old round table. I'll say about like six or seven other representatives from City Hall. At this time, they had, you know, the iPad had just come out. So they all had an iPad and they were like writing notes and shit. And they're arguing because they didn't want to pay me the $500 full just for the mural, just for supplies. They want me to split it. I'm like, you guys can't find money for the gardening.
You can find money for iPads.
I'm like, your iPad's worth more. I made a point.
Yeah.
I'm like, that iPad's worth way more than what you guys are offering here. And it's a whole bunch of you fools. Mr. Lopez, he took me out. He's like, you know what, dude? I get it. If you don't want to do this, don't do this. Fuck them. And I'm like, you know what? Nah, dude. Like, this is a school I was part of.
Mm-hmm.
I got in trouble for fucking it up.
When I give back, then.
I think I got to give back so I don't feel too guilty. And I went ahead and with whatever funding they got,
Let's make this happen somehow.
The Rasquatcha came out, right? I'm like, you know, I got old ass brushes. I don't need new brushes. I got dried ass paint. We'll do what we got.
We'll get some like Home Depot oops paint.
Yeah, there. But Photo Op came in though, and he was there fucking looking shiny. Yeah.
Sleaze bag, man.
Great, man. It's politics, right?
Yeah. Speaking of, with our like FBI. Fugitive council member. I will give him some credit. He's trying to like support muralists because Bull Heights has so many. But his office fucked up some of the ones, like the Willie Heron one, the Cesar Chavez one, right next to the Pavo Bakery. He's trying to do his name behind it. But mostly just like politicians do to get their name out there. Be like, I did that. You see that right there? I did that.
Yeah, I mean, he was there for them Wabash mural I painted.
Yeah, I remember that one, which is very similar to the Belvedere one where it was like a community effort. I was there.
Yeah.
I helped paint it. I think my hand is somewhere in there, or my name is.
You're sure? Yeah. Both should be in there. That's right.
If it hasn't been tagged over.
I should be fixing it. So ELAG helped find funds.
Oh, nice.
To actually fix it. So I'll be able to rent equipment and get those acids out there to get rid of that graph.
Nice. And then... with like the whole mural and like the city ordinance thing, I also want to ask you, you've done some more of like the corporate style stuff when you were part of like the Red Bull Latte Grafica mural project.
Yeah, Latte Grafica.
Yeah, so this was a project a couple of years ago from Red Bull where they commissioned Wentz, one of them, and like a handful of other artists to put up murals around the city. And yours is in Lincoln Heights next to a panaderia.
Yeah, LA Baking. Or yeah. LA Bakery. Yeah. Yeah, I was fortunate enough, man. I got a phone call, and they're like, hey, I threw your name to the mix. Someone from Red Bull was asking about artists. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I appreciate it. Then I got an email from PR people from Red Bull. Hey, we got 10 muralists for LA. We're going to be painting murals all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You're down. I'm like, well, how much you paying? Well, you down? I'm like, well, how much you paying?
You get free Red Bull.
But are you down? I'm like, what the... like, no joke, man. I just said, I'm down because it is a fucking... it's Red Bull. I mean, how can you not want to work with a reputable company?
Get your name out there. Oh, put it yeah. on the resume.
I'm barely getting started. So I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm down. And they brought us in. They bought us... guisados tacos. Tacos and fucking Red Bull. I'm like, am I going to get paid with tacos? Because you guys haven't told me how much I'm getting paid. And yeah, eventually they, well, you know, we'll give you some cash and we'll cover all the supplies and, you know, just as long as you get it done by this date.
All right.
And I was like, okay, sounds good. Problem was, they only gave us about 3 days to do the job.
Oh, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, that's corporate. You know, they wave money at you and they expect you to bend over backwards. And so they're, yeah, we need to get done by this date. And because, you know, organizing 5 or 10 murals throughout LA and 10 events, that's their deal, right? So they were like working with Las Cafeteras mm-hmm. and Santa Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
And so while they were doing their concerts, they were synchronizing with our murals as celebrations. And so that was a big ordeal for them, you know. And eventually they're like, okay, we got a wall for you. I'm like, cool, when do I get started? Yesterday. You need to finish by Friday. We started having the celebration on Saturday. I'm like, well, shit, dude, it's like fucking Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, got the lift, and just I had very little time, so I'm like, how am I gonna do this? I got escobas, and I took out the escobas and I started escobas on fucking this launching paint. They covered all supplies, so I was like, fuck it. All
right.
See, you know, nice. Wasting paint, no fear on wasting paint here.
Just go all out.
Yeah, and I'm like, the idea is just to finish fast. And so I got the escobazos, and I started doing that, and that style kicked in. And they're like, yeah, that works.
It's like cool. Splashing. And then you've done some prints like that, too, because I have one of your paletero prints, and I think it might be the most unique one, because in the numbering and the signing, I think you made a mistake, and you can see the eraser shirt mark.
I was like, oh, dang. I believe it. Super limited edition. It's a one-off.
And that's the one I ended up getting from you at nice. at the party for Red that's Bull right, where they had Red all Bull. That stuff. You know, I took, quote unquote, one of those limited edition boxes with all the
nice
with the can. I remember there, you with were the Nesto's can. Yep. Yeah. So I was like, it was under the table. I was like, man, I'm just gonna take this.
Hey, I didn't mind. I remember you were asking for them. Like, I don't know, I got two though. Get thirsty, man. Later on.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I still have it. At this point, I just question it because it's Red Bull.
Yeah.
But it's like, all right, it's like a unique piece. Nobody has it.
Yeah.
They're always limited in number. So that was a good number of years ago. I don't think anybody would want to buy it. And then your mural is still there just because it was such in like this roundabout spot where it's like on the side of the bakery, but you can't really like get to it like as a pedestrian. Yep.
Like, yeah, it was meant to have traffic see it, so you could see it from the freeway.
Yeah, you see it from the freeway all the time.
Yeah, and that was the purpose that Red Bull chose that spot. They're like, they actually initially wanted the whole wall, but when they showed me the money, I was like, I'll give you this little piece.
this much gets you this much.
Yeah, they didn't pay that much, so they got a good chunk, especially for 3 days of work. I was like, you know, it's manageable.
All right.
So I painted the. Candy salesman with the globos.
Yeah, super yeah. bright and colorful.
And that's something I really enjoyed about that project was that they did not force me to paint something that represents Red Bull.
Like slap the logo in there yeah. or a can in there or something. Yeah. It's at the bottom, like part of the project and what it is, yeah.
But I mean the it's the hashtag Cuales to Canvas.
Ah,
that was English. Yeah, it was Cuales to Canvas. But there's no Red Bull logo on it. I mean, we were, like, actually adamant. Like, all the artists were like, we're not going to do some commercial shit. Like, we had just gotten off the...
like, the old school Coca-Cola murals and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Beautifully done, but, you know, giant Coca-Cola bottle. Mm-hmm. That's what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
great technique, though. I saw the homie working on it. I'm like, damn, dude, that looks like a Coke bottle.
Oh, damn. So yours is actually one of the mirrors. That's what I was going to say, is that's still standing, because not all of them are still around.
No, not all of them. I think Germs is up, right?
Still? Yeah, Germs is super fucking... He's always has like this crazy-ass style with his tentacles and cartoons and super vibrant colors. People just like...
The luchador squid.
Yeah, they're like, I'm going to keep that there. But what was I going to ask next? Okay, so you're doing that now. What... you're not doing that now. That project was done. I was gonna ask, what are you doing now?
Gotcha. Yeah, that was about 5 years ago. What am I doing now? Well, okay, so for murals, there's an awesome project, man. So I was once employed for St. John's Wellchild Clinic, and I've been wanting to paint a mural for them for a long time, since I was an employee there. I pitched it to the CEO, and he's like, yeah, we'll get to it. Never got to it. And now they have a whole team of badass art, people just organizing the community. And it's something they didn't have before.
Hmm.
And so now it's like homeboy Pablo and Miguel and, you know, I mean, just a huge team of people that are just doing a lot of work. They're like, you know what? We want a mural. And the homie's like, well, throw one into the mix. And so they reached out, they're like, hey, dude, we got funding now. You're down for a mural. I was like, well, yeah, dude. You know, I've been wanting to paint a mural for you guys. I was like, I even hit up, like, the local, you know, community council, neighborhood council, I'm sorry, neighborhood council in South L.A. to get funding. Because, you know, they give out a certain amount of money for supplies and community beautification projects to work out the, you know, community space. And since it's going to be a community mural again, I figured it would be cool to engage the community, get the neighborhood council involved, and no say so. You know, we couldn't get the funding. So, but now, you know, St. John's got the funding, and now, you know, we're working, getting together at Mount Carmel Park. It's in South LA every other Thursday where we're designing the mural. And
I've seen the Facebook invites for that.
Yeah, there's a Facebook invites that they put that... it's called the St. John's Mural Task Force put together.
Yeah.
Sounds so militant. I love it. But yeah, man, St. John's been awesome, man. And they bring food to a community. I mean, if you all want to come around, I'd love to have people participate. They bring food, drinks, you know, make it comfortable for people to be participants.
Yeah.
And super, you know, just all inclusive. Nice. Like, everybody's included to come in, old and young. And everyone's ideas are taken into consideration. And they
That's such a management project where you got to like put all these ideas together. It's something that everybody can agree on. When sometimes I've been in meetings and nobody can agree on a name. And we spent 2 hours arguing. I was like, that's not representative of this or this and that. Can't tell the kids. But that's fucking dope that you're still doing it.
Yeah, you know, it's a passion. You know, it's not something that brings in the bread and butter. But it's something I love to do.
Yeah.
You know, I have a regular job, so that pays my other bills. Don't we
all? It's fucking side hustle over here. And then, the other thing I did wanted to ask you, too, as I was looking at my notes, is it was, what, maybe a year or two ago you had your first solo show?
Last year. It felt like 2 years
already. Man, this whole month felt like a whole year just went by.
Yeah, that was my first solo show. I had been creating work and selling it, right? Just to get money. And until someone talked to me, they're like, hey man, you've been around for a minute, why don't you like have something established already as like a solo show? I say, well, you know, because I don't need a gallery. I got Facebook, I got Instagram, and,
that's my gallery.
That's where I'm selling my work. I don't need a gallery space to sell. I keep 100%. But you know, because the art world needs that, you know, in your resume. Yeah. I had to go and, you know, reach out to a gallery, and the first one that popped up was Avenue 50. Avenue 50 is a nonprofit. They do amazing work, and I love that they opened their doors for my friends fundraising when we were trying to get funding for this cancer. And so I'm like, if anyone's going to take some of my money, I want them. You know, they hooked it up.
Nice.
And so...
yeah, Kathy Gallegos has been holding it down for a long time.
Kathy's awesome, man. And so, yeah, man, we teamed up and got that solo show. Did better than I expected.
And you created some like new pieces for it too, right?
Yeah, I mean, pieces that were created, they were focused on the you know, just the street vendors. So you have the paletero, the raspados, you have the
like people selling cotton candy,
you know, people you see in the streets just hustling. I want to represent them there. You know, it's that the embracing of that struggle, embracing of that, capturing that beautiful moment. Because we always take them for granted. Like we're off on our own mission, and we got to go to concerts or whatever. But when we come out all pedos, we see them outside. It's like they have the little kids with them selling hot dogs. Man. You know,
and once those kids get old enough, they have their own cart.
Yep, they inherit the cart. You know, and it's a hustle, man, and it's a real hustle. And you know, my mom was a babysitter. She took care of kids whose parents sold elotes. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Like, these guys would come in, and we'll see them all day, every day, working on cleaning the elotes, preparing. And so seeing that every day, you know, just made me want to just see them up there on the canvas, you know? And so when I'm painting, like, that's a reflection. Like I have the luxury to be in this studio space and whatever tiny space I would have to create what I love to create, because these people are struggling for someone they love, right? They ain't loving this shit. Hell no. They're fucking pushing the fucking ice cream truck.
As somebody who at one point was a vendor, I would say it was not the best of times.
Oh, yeah, man. No kidding. I forgot that you
had to. It was funny, though, because I'd be reading, like, at one point, I was, like, just sitting on the cart reading, like, this big-ass fat book. It was a comic book.
Yeah.
And, like, señoras would be like, oh, mijo, qué bueno. Like, they're basically telling me, we're proud of you because we see you out here working and you're reading the Bible. It was not the Bible.
It's a big book. It looks like the Bible.
It's some X-Men book.
Either way, we're not opening it up.
Yeah. Wow. But, no, it was a dope show. I remember we went the opening night. It was just so many folks from the neighborhood. And like to see you like shine for a minute, because you're always, you know, you're humble. You're trying to stay behind the scenes. You're just trying to keep your head to the grindstone and like moving from one project to the next. So, you know, when you do get opportunities like this, it's just, you know, humble brag.
Yeah, just put it out there, man. I appreciate it. I'm not too comfortable in the limelight.
Me neither. Sometimes
I want my art to get the attention that it should, because of the time and effort and the meaning that I want to put out, right? My interpretation in illustrated form. But once I'm up there, I'm just like, yeah, you take the mic. You look better. I mean, I'm right here. I got a face for radio, you know? So I don't mind coming here.
That's exactly why I'm here, too. And then the last thing I just want to ask you is, now that everything's getting more digital and, you know, technology-based programs, more folks are, I see more folks gravitating more toward, you know, they got like that fancy drawing tablet or like iPad or something like that. Do you think you ever see yourself going that route?
I do. That's how I design my murals.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, man. I gotta keep up.
Damn.
It's the best way, the fastest way to edit your drawing and, you know.
As opposed to like, you know,
paper. As opposed to drawing and, you know, painting it. Cause you could just, you know, click on a button and that layer goes away if someone doesn't like it.
Let me get my eraser over here.
Yeah, and instead of erasing it, you're like, you know what? I kind of like it. I'm going to click it back in there.
All right.
You know, move it around. So I use technology. So
more to help you expedite your work and your process.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you're going to completely change your style and go digital.
Oh, no. I embrace the digital. You know, I want to incorporate technology into murals. That's something I've been wanting to get funding for. And St. John's, we're crossing our fingers that we have funding to actually get some like augmented reality. You know, it's not much to ask for. It's just a little bit more and just a little extra step. But yeah, man, I mean, I've been wanting to do augmented reality for a minute. And just because it's accessible to us, you know, through our phone.
Yeah.
And so I figured, like, we could add so much more content into the mural than what we see, you know? And so I've been pushing for that. And so hopefully with St. John's, we get that going. So
cool.
We ain't afraid.
All right. Well, you got the mural task force going on with St. John's. If you want to learn more about that, I think you're the best way to keep up with you. Do you have a Facebook page? I know we're like yes. friends on like the friends account.
Yeah, I got Facebook. Wenceslao Quiroz. Well, you know, Wenceslao.
Yeah,
and I'm also on Instagram. Wenz Q. Wenz.
Yeah.
Q. I have two shows today. As a matter of fact, they open. Oh. I have a show part of the Cheech Marin collection. The Colección Papel Dos, I think that's the name of his book. It went on a tour, and they're doing their final stop. They're at Museo. It's in Orange County. It's a museum and culture center.
Yeah, I'm not going out
it's
there.
It's way out there. And something that's less way out there is El Segundo Museum of Art, which is like something that blew my mind to be part of. It's a show called Experience 39 EAT.
The acronym is ESMO, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think S-M-O. I follow them on Instagram. Yeah.
And so I'm part of that show. I got two pieces there. Also going to be a panelist. We're going to be discussing food.
All right.
And yeah, amongst them, like, you know, you got Andy Warhol's artwork up there.
Nice.
You got Ai Weiwei, you know, his artwork there.
Yeah, the Chinese artist. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So to be hanging out with these legends is kind of mind-boggling. So I'm excited.
Nice.
It's happening today at 5.
Oh,
but you know, it's gonna go into May.
You can check out the show. Obviously, you might miss
the opening.
The events happening today because this will probably won't go out until Monday or Tuesday. Be too late by then. You can see it on Instagram, but yeah, follow him on Instagram at Wenzq, Wenzq, and then I'll have this stuff linked up in the description of the episode, so that way you can just click and go like his page and follow his work. Is there anything else you want to mention? Shout outs
to my wife Josie.
Yeah,
I love her so much. Yeah, man, she brought me here. So if this interview was terrible, it's her fault. and thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate
man.
It, dude. And everybody else has been supporting, man. Like I mean, trust me, I've been wanting to quit every day, but then someone comes in and buys a print. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should keep doing it.
and
little every bit supports. Helps.
If you want to support, always buy from the artist. And don't be ass. Don't ask for a discount. Pay what they're asking for.
Yeah.
That's their work. Imagine somebody came to you and asked you for a discount for what you do. You wouldn't like it either.
Even if they're lowballing themselves.
Yeah. If they're lowballing themselves and you can tell, then just go for it.
That's on them, man.
thank
you very much.
It. So this has been Orale Bo Heights. Thanks again, Wenz, Josie, for coming through. And I'll catch y'all on the next one.
Orale.